But once again, I want to very heartily greet Amelia. Welcome. She has been here for a week now in Denmark. She's been running a very tight schedule, doing many things. Already, actually, if you put on the first slide, this is from right as she came, basically, with very short notice. I mean, we got notified 2 days before she came that she could come, and didn't have much time to prepare things. But right as we came and began calling around to the different TV stations on the fact that she's here, they said, oh, she's here. And right now, the whole question of civil rights in the United States is on the agenda again. We have these Jenna 6. Oh, this is interesting what she has to say about this. And actually, therefore, she was on Danish radio's TV news the first day. This is from the second day she was here, where she both was gave a longer interview to TV2 and also were on live. This is from a live interview she gave on TV2 News. And just shortly to introduce Emilia, I'll show a few pictures here from her life. You saw it before. She's very famous, of course, for she became she was already in the 1930s extremely engaged in the civil rights fight, but as and fought for a long time. Then in the 60s, she became, her house in Selma, Alabama, became the center of this very, very hard civil rights struggle there, which I'm sure Emilia will tell us a little bit about. And she actually called in Martin Luther King and says, we need some backup here, these things are getting rough, can some people come and help us? And Martin Luther King and others came actually to Selma, Alabama, and this then became the hotspot, the place for some of the historic civil rights battles. I will not go through all of this. I'll leave that to Emilia. We take the next. This is a very famous picture. This is from the Bloody Sunday, March 7, 1965, where a march was launched from Selma, Alabama, to Montgomery, the capital of Alabama, and where it was received very brutally, to say the least, and where Emilia was actually knocked to the ground and was only left alone and not beaten more, because it was thought she was actually dead. This picture of Emilia, half dead on the ground, actually then went around the media all over the United States and actually became a very a very critical point for mobilizing people to say, this is too much now, something really had to change. And it led to this fight very shortly after the signing of the Voting Rights Act. And here you see, actually, and I believe this is a picture from the signing of the Voting Rights Act, of Emilia shaking hands with Lyndon B. Johnson, who as president signed it into law. Now, there's also then a continuation of Emilia's story. I'll again cannot do justice. I'll just, for those that might not know us so well, give some small references to give you a little clue. Emilia became very closely later working very closely with Lyndon LaRouche, who is a many time presidential candidate in the United States, without no doubt the world's leading economist today. He's also getting up in the years. He just celebrated his 85th year's birthday. If you take the next, oh, here you have him a little more clearly. This is actually a picture taken not that long ago in Moscow, in on one of his many trips around the world and to Russia, in order to fuse an international, a global development alliance. If we take the next picture. But Emilia has also worked very closely with this other lady to the right, Helga Seplerus, who was the founder of the Schiller Institute. This is not from the founding in 84, this is from 2003, with Emilia on the podium. But Emilia has also been tirelessly traveling around the world, giving speeches, making interventions, being part of key political initiatives. This is from Leipzig just after the fall of the Berlin Wall, where Emilia actually went there and to different places in Germany as part of an intervention at that time. And it's again just to show a few very few pictures from a very intense and long political fight. This is a book which was published by the Schiller Institute in 1991, a biography by Emilia Bridge across Jordan, that can be highly recommended. Unfortunately, right now it's pretty much out of print. And here, just to take it up to date, this is from this is a key initiative of the Schiller Institute for a global infrastructure network going all the way from Africa and Europe over Eurasia, over a tunnel under the Bering Strait to North America and to South America. And this was actually intensely discussed at a conference the 15th of 16th of September, that is not 2 weeks ago, in Kiedrich in Germany, where also Emilia once again was giving a speech, but where there was an intense discussion, not just on nice history and things of the past, but of the fact that right now we are on our way into a global political and economic mess that none of the established politicians really have any idea of how to deal with. I will not try to explain this in a short introduction. You will see we have actually on next Thursday we have our regular meeting, and there I will go in an in-depth discussion of it. But right now we have a global banking crisis. We have the beginning, or it's not really the beginning, but we are in the beginning of the end of the global financial system. It has been in its death rattle for a long time, but now we've come to the point where first German banks were getting in big trouble and had to basically be bought up and been dealt with in different ways. Just in the last 10 days, we saw how a British bank, Northern Rock, had the same fate, and that the British government had to take the very unusual step of actually guaranteeing all the depositors of Northern Rock that they would get their money from the British state if everything else failed. That's a very unusual action, and it was only taken because the British government knew that if they did not do that, then they might have had a run on all the British banks. So this is not a German problem, this is not a British problem, as both the Germans and the British will say, but we didn't start this. This started with the subprime market collapse in the United States. And there will be many chapters of this playing out, but what we dealt with at the conference in Kiedrich in Germany, with representatives from around the world, from the United States, from Russia, from all the different corners of Europe, but also with representatives from Africa, Australia, from actually 40 nations around the world, was that we had to deal with this, we had to solve this, so to speak, but the solution to this has to be of the nature where people comes first, where you defend the populations and especially the not so fortunate and not so rich part of the world's population, instead of defending the hedge funds, instead of defending these speculators in the financial markets, which has made the mess. This has two very acute parts to it. One is, of course, a global part, which is a new Bretton Woods system, a new global financial structure to deal with this, and also to make it possible to create credits for grand projects to actually rebuild the world economy. The second part of it right now is a very intense struggle in the United States for, instead of having the United States taking the lead in defending these hedge funds and the speculators and in carrying out wars around the world, that the United States has to return to the tradition of Franklin D. Roosevelt. That right now, the world financial system and the world order will not make it unless the United States play a key positive role. And Lyndon LaRouche has therefore launched a very intense campaign in the United States to adopt a new law called Homeowners and Bank Protection Act of 2007, which is the idea of getting the Congress in Washington under pressure from the population around the United States, from the local politicians in the different states, which right now is in deep trouble. I mean, millions of Americans will lose their house the coming months if nothing is done. They will simply be thrown out on the street. And it's not, of course, mostly poorer people, but it's people from all parts of life, you could say. And if that is allowed to happen, that will, of course, end what might be left of the U.S. housing market. Because if you simply take a huge chunks of the American house owners and throw them out on the street and put their house up for sale on an auction for the lowest bidder, then you collapse what's left of the market, and you simply will have wave after wave of house owners being thrown out of their house, but not only that, losing everything. And you'll see the whole economy in the American economy in extremely short time being basically in a lot worse shape than it was in the midst of the Depression in the 1930s. So therefore LaRouche is mobilizing, and local politicians and actually the Black Caucus in the United States, Black politicians that are working together, is very key in this, and in mobilizing to get this something done on this now, not in two years, on 1 year, on 3 months, but actually right now. The other part, of course, is the immediate impeachment of Dick Cheney, for very obvious reasons. Not because of all the evil that he has done, but because if he is not impeached, we have the severe danger of a new war against Iran very shortly. And that would, despite all the problems we might have right now, make everything much more difficult to solve. So this policy, and this, the policy of the Schiller, the LaRouche movement in the United States, but the Schiller Institute internationally, therefore has simply is that somebody has to stand up and not just fight for their own careers and for themselves, but actually fight for in the United States it's called the lower 80% of the population, those that are not in the highest income bracket, but also of course that goes for the more unfortunate nations of the world, which massively needs development. So with that, we have to be leaders. We cannot sit around and wait for what there might be of established institutions and established politicians to suddenly, Eureka, come up with all the solutions. And therefore we have to take the leadership, each of all of us here and many more, in finding solutions to these problems and in also going out and actually get that solution out to a broad public. Actually a job which is where many people will tend to be terribly afraid of doing such a thing. And for that reason I think what we really can learn something from in this fight we have ahead of us is what Emilia can tell about the great experience she has with carrying out this fight for a long time. So with that, I would, we would introduce Emilia with something that was, I think, very important also in the civil rights movement, namely a spiritual, which is called Sinner, Don't Let This Harvest Pass.
Harvest past and which is that while doing anything else, of course, Emilia has also been writing poetry. So this is a small poem that Emilia has written. Do you know when? Okay, that Jenny will recite. And it's called
From Emilia Burton Robinson.